We're continuing in our series from the book of Ephesians. And in West Albany, we have divided verses 22 through to 33 into three sermons. The first, in verses 22 to 24, that primarily concern the wives, and in also verses 25 through 29 concerning the husbands, and in verses 30 to 33 concerning marriage in general. And so this morning we turn to the first of those sermons, verses 22 to 24, specifically addressing the wives. But let us read verses 15 through to verse 33 together. Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And here is our text for this morning. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so concludes our text for this morning. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, so that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So this morning we give particular attention to verses 22 to 24 concerning the wives. And after the holidays, I'll be on the pulpit once again in the morning, where we'll be giving specific attention to the role of husbands in verses 25 through to 29. But let's briefly just read those verses again there. God's instruction for the sisters in our midst who are married, the responsibility of wives in marriage. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, as he is the Saviour of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Following the proclamation of God's word, let's sing and praise God with hymn 73, verse 1, 2, and 3. Beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever ridden a tandem bike with someone? You know those two-seater bikes where somebody sits in the front and somebody sits in the back, both pedaling. Maybe you know how difficult it can be. It's something that looks easy, but in fact, from my own experience, is in fact very difficult. And maybe you also realize how much cooperation is needed in order to successfully ride together. Now, riding a tandem bike is a good illustration for marriage. God created Adam and Eve. He created them to work together, but he created them with different roles. Adam was given the position of headship in marriage and commanded to love his wife. And Eve was given the position of helper and the task of submitting to her husband. And these positions of responsibility, of authority and submission, they are in fact not unique relationships. In fact, authority and submission is built into the very creation of the world. It doesn't matter who you are, in perhaps more ways than one, you are either in a position of authority or you are under the authority of someone else, or perhaps you could even, for many people, are both. And this is how God created the world, and this is also how he instituted marriage. He made it so that someone would sit in the front seat of the tandem bike and somebody would be in the back seat helping. Now, sadly, because Adam and Eve listened to the devil, the curse upon creation also falls upon marriage. So that instead of blissfully pedaling along on the tandem bike, husbands and wives struggle to work together. And sometimes they even crash. And sometimes they hurt each other. And sometimes they get back up and try again. But some of them get up and jump on a bike with someone else. But through Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, God is redeeming marriage. He's redeeming this creation. And he gives the Holy Spirit to renew men and women to be the husbands and wives that he created them to be for his glory. And so in this first sermon, we will consider the gospel for wives in marriage, and we'll do that under the following theme: as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit to your husbands. And we see this by way of considering four questions: who submits, what is submit, how to submit, and why to submit. So firstly, we look at who submits. Now, there are many things that are the same between men and women. God teaches us they were both created in the beautiful image of God in perfect righteousness and holiness. And so in this way, they had equal holiness, equal righteousness, equally the children of God. However, their responsibilities were not the same. Adam was given the task to name all the animals when the Lord brought them to him. And the Lord then made a helper who was suitable for him. Genesis 2 verse 18. In creation, man received the position of headship while the woman received the role of helper. In similarity, as a result of the fall into sin, much stayed the same, but then also much changed between them. What stayed the same between Adam and Eve after the fall into sin was that they were now equally as sinful. They were equally unholy, equally unrighteous before God. And what changed between them as a result of the fall into sin was now a struggle to live in those roles as headship and as helper. The struggle to live in those roles as a result of the curse that had fallen upon creation and upon marriage. And we read about that curse in Genesis chapter 3. And in particular, Genesis 3 verse 16b, that concerns the consequences on the marriage for the woman. We read there in Genesis 3 verse 16b, Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That there is given in the context of the curse in Genesis chapter 3. So your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now that word desire in Genesis 3 is understood to mean contention or even control. Now this has commonly been accepted in Reformed teaching. And that, in fact, fits with the context of Genesis chapter 3. For example, if you look at the curse upon the serpent, the woman and the man, you notice that there is contention throughout that passage. There's contention between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent at the end of verse 15. The contention of the man as he wrestles with creation, as he seeks to subdue it. And this is not to say that husbands are never responsible for contention in marriage, but as a result of the fall into sin, women will struggle with control in the marriage, struggle with manipulation, struggle with contention for the husband, for leadership, and for authority. That is a result of the fall into sin. And we see that in our lives, we see that in the lives of others, we see that in the world around us, sadly. And yet despite the fall into sin, brothers and sisters, God still commands the original creation mandate between husbands and wives. He still commands that wives submit to the husbands and husbands are to lovingly lead and care for their wives. We see that, for example, in the reading this morning. Now the word submit, it perhaps conjures many different thoughts and ideas. No doubt the command to submit, sisters, can even perhaps sound a little bit scary. Perhaps it's even a word that you dread. But if we have a biblical understanding of submission, it in fact becomes something that is very beautiful. Remember, it is God's ordinance. He created the woman. He knows what's best for her, also in marriage as well. So when we take a biblical view of submission, it is something that we can in fact praise God for and be thankful for. Biblical submission is not taking away a wife's individuality or freedom to express the personal gifts that God has given to her or her own ability to think so that she becomes simply a doormat or has to tolerate blind obedience. That is not biblical submission. Consider the woman of Proverbs 31. Consider the freedom that she has to express the gifts that God has given to her and the abilities that God has made her with. Submission does not mean that she becomes a slave. In fact, if you look closely at Proverbs 31, a wife is truly free. When she is in that role of submitting to her husband, for there she can be who God created her to be, lovingly serving her husband and, Lord willing, her family and children if the Lord gives them. Now, we might be quick to think that submission and freedom are like chalk and cheese. How can you reconcile this idea of submission and freedom? Well, our struggle to sometimes do that in our minds is often as a result of the world's conception of what submission is. But we must remember that the role of submission and headship are creation ordinances. And in this way, by trusting God's design for marriage and for the wife, she truly finds her joy in God and she can experience joy also in marriage. Now, furthermore, submission does not mean that she is in any way inferior to the husband. The tandem bike illustration, it is teaching us not about the status of the husband and the wife. Some people may like to think that perhaps think of an illustration where the husband and wife are sitting next to each other. You can see sometimes in those bikes that you can get today too. And yes, it's true, husbands and wives are equal in God's eyes. But the illustration of the tandem bike is to demonstrate they have different roles. The Lord Jesus was not inferior to Mary and Joseph, and yet he submitted to them. We read that in Luke 2, verse 51. That's the same word that is used in our text here. And so submission does not mean inferiority. Jesus, he is not inferior to God the Father, and yet he submits to God the Father. The role of male headship is then not intended to stifle or demean or squash growth, but nurture and cause her to grow and to thrive. And we'll see that more closely when we look at the role of the husband in the next sermon. And this, of course, takes wisdom from the husband and patience. All who are going to fail, sometimes even miserably, but looking to Christ, it's possible to be husbands who lead and love their wives, so that marriage is a place where she thrives and grows and is nourished. The Greek word that Paul, in fact, uses when he speaks about submission here in our text, wives submit to your husbands, that word submit means to order under or arrange under. Now, God has created the world in an orderly manner. In creation, in family, in society, also reflects the order of authority. We see this is where the word is used throughout Scripture. We see that God the Son submits to God the Father. We see that the world or the universe is submitting to Christ. The church submits to Christ. The Lord Jesus submitted to his parents. The younger are to submit to the older in 1 Peter 5, verse 5. And we read in Luke 10 that the demons even submit to Christ. And when we think about the objects of submitted, what is submitted to? Well, some of those have been mentioned already. The Lord Jesus submitting to his Father. We see that God's law is to be submitted to. The government is to be submitted to. Parents are to be submitted to. Employers are to be submitted to. And the headship of Christ as Lord and ruler over this world means that both wives and also husbands submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 28. And so throughout Scripture, we see the authority, the relationship between authority and submission everywhere. In almost every area of life, regardless of who you are, you either exercise authority or you arrange yourself under the authority of somebody else. Creation, in society. In every aspect of life, there is someone who has authority over you or someone whom you are under the authority of. And that is how God has created the world. That's how he created also to be in the home and also in society and also in marriage, the role of husbands and wives. The husband leading his wife as the head and the wife submitting to him as his helper. Now, our text does mention the word headship. And so that speaks immediately to the role of husbands. And so we'll briefly mention that here in our sermon, but knowing also that the role of husbands is specifically dealt with in the following verses. But it can be briefly said here that the task, role, responsibility of the husband, in three easy words for us brothers to remember, is to be a lover, a learner, and a leader. It can be briefly mentioned here in this context. To be a head in a family means to be a lover, a learner, and a leader. The principal command for husbands is to love their wives, and we'll see that in our next passage, in the next sermon. And Paul, in fact, is going to mention it three times specifically to husbands. Something that us brothers need to be reminded of. To love our wives. To love them, to love them. And Paul mentions that several times. But in order to love your wife, you must know her. So you need to learn about her, taking the time to get to know her. And when you love and learn her and know her, you'll know how to lead her and you'll know how to give her what she needs. You know how to create an environment of marriage where she can be nurtured and grow and flourish in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Now, sadly, because of sin and corruption in the world, brothers and sisters, man's leadership is often too weak or it's tyrannical, both of which can fill a woman and their wives with resentment and frustration or anger, and it can drive her to find it very difficult to submit to him, and also then to try and take upon that leadership and that role which the husband has been given by God. And we see there then a contention that can take place in the marriage. In these situations, a marriage relationship can sadly become detrimental for a wife's spiritual and mental and emotional health. And sadly, this happens in a broken world because of the refusal of responsibility for the husband to rule his wife, but not as the caring and loving leader that God calls him to be. But sadly, that can be done in an oppressive and tyrannical manner. Sadly, husbands can spend their times building their own kingdoms rather than the kingdom of God in their family and in their home. And in situations like this, brothers and sisters, it's good to remember that the husband is accountable to God. We'll see that specifically more next time too. He's responsible for how he leads his wife. So husbands must be wise to also see that the authority has been given to the church and to the government. And so their authority cannot be used in a domineering or tyrannical manner that leads to perhaps even domestic abuse. And so God has also put authority in place to protect women as well. And at times there needs to be intervention. And so this can also be a warning for husbands too, to know that they are accountable to God, but also knowing that authority has been given to the church and also to local authorities. And so the husband also is under submission. Submission to Christ and submission also to local authorities. But this was not how God intended it to be in paradise. When a husband and wife work in these relationships and these roles together, by God's grace, it is good. It can flourish. Families can grow, and husbands and wives can be a blessing to each other and build strong and wonderful and stable families as we have been so richly blessed in our church community with. And even in weakness, brothers and sisters, wives are also called to submit to their husbands. Even in weakness, even in a husband's weakness, wives are still called to submit to their husbands. And Paul speaks about how they are to submit to their husbands in everything. Now that word everything can sound intimidating. And it's why Paul says in everything after he speaks about doing that for Christ. Because it's the only way, sisters, you can submit to your husbands in everything. By submitting in the first place to Christ. And we'll come back to that in a moment. Paul does not say some things, but in everything. What exactly does God intend to teach here? Well, obviously it means in everything except everything that Paul has just taught about in Ephesians so far. All those principles and values that Paul has already outlined for believers and for Christians. Unless, of course, a husband is leading his wife into sin, or to disobey God, then of course, she then does not need to follow him in the area of sin. But if the husband is not leading her directly into sin, or directly contradicting God's word, there really is no loophole and no wriggle room, sisters. The command is clear to submit in everything, and this can be a hard pill to swallow. Because there are times when husbands and wives disagree with each other. It can be big matters or they can be even small matters. A husband and wife may make a decision together, and after deliberating and talking, the final decision needs to be made. But it's clear that the wife doesn't agree. If you think that your husband is making a poor decision, you might be tempted to stop pedaling the bike with him, and you might be tempted to tell him that he can go off on his own. However, unless your husband is leading you into sin, you will choose to go with him. And if it becomes clear down the road that it was a poor decision, then husbands need to be willing to also own up to their mistakes, and wives quick to forgive. Now that can be difficult to accept, but it becomes possible, sisters, to submit to husbands in all things, as Paul says, as to the Lord, as to Christ. The way God instituted marriage was that he designed one person to be in the front seat leading and the other in the back seat helping, like riding the tandem bike. And of course, that bike is going to move faster, it's going to be more effectively when both are working together. And yet crash and injuries result when there is that contention in the marriage. Now, wives, you might be thinking, how on earth am I supposed to do this? How on earth am I supposed to submit to my husband in all things? And that is why Paul says there, as to the Lord. It is significant that Paul adds these words, as to the Lord. And we're coming now to the question, how to submit. It is significant that Paul adds the words, as to the Lord, because this teaches wives how to submit to their own husbands during the good times, but also during the hard times. And here, the Lord, of course, refers to the Lord Jesus. And submitting to your husbands as to the Lord means trusting that the Lord is working in this situation. In all situations in marriage, trusting that ultimately is Christ who is the head, not only over the world, but also over your marriage too. Knowing that he, by the authority that has been given to him by the Father, is working all things, also in your marriage. Because husbands are going to fail. They're not perfect. And yet, failure, beloved brothers and sisters, in one way that God helps us grow and see our dependence on Christ also in our marriage. Whenever we fall short, whenever we stumble or trip up in our marriage, it is teaching us where we need Christ, where we need to depend on him, where we need to also pray and ask God's grace to work there as well. And if the husband's heart is right before God and he has received the Spirit working in his life, failures is going to make him a stronger Christian. It's going to make him a better husband, as Christ is teaching him where he needs to depend on him. And on the other hand, wives don't always make the best decisions either. And they can be thankful that God does provide them for a husband who can make decisions. And sometimes husbands do make decisions that are best for the family, and it turns out to be better than perhaps what the wife intended or had hoped for. But only under God's blessing when we do those together in prayer as husbands and wives. Now, struggling to submit in marriage does also test a wife's faith too. We should be faithful to God, we should be obedient to God and the command of the Lord Jesus to submit even in the face of difficulties and hardship. As with other spiritual battles and struggles, God has not left his people alone. And those whom he has called to be wives, he provides also the strength and the resource. He provides his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he provides the gift of the Holy Spirit. So then that also wives and husbands can work in their roles as God had given in the creation ordinance. Christ makes it possible for wives and husbands to live together, beloved. Wives are not to submit because their husbands are stronger or smarter or have greater physical strength or they're more emotionally stronger or spiritually or mentally stronger. God has also made women to be very capable and given them gifts. Wives are to submit not because of anything in their husbands, but as Paul says, to the Lord. Submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Have Christ at the forefront of your mind. See your husband through Christ, or see Christ standing between you and your husband. And in that way, you then also will be able to submit to your husband as to the Lord. And then submitting as to the Lord can be a comfort to wives when they think about the Lord Jesus' own relationship with women. Wives can often be hurt by their husbands. They can be disappointed and let down. But know that the Lord Jesus Christ will never let you down. And in the Gospels, we see a beautiful picture of the relationship between Jesus and women. Jesus placed a much higher dignity upon women than the Jewish and Roman culture of his day. He spoke to them in public, unconcerned about cultural expectations. He taught them, he healed them, he took the time for them. Think of the Samaritan woman he spoke to in John chapter 4, and the disciples coming and questioning, wondering why he's speaking to a Samaritan woman of all people. He took the time for them, he healed them, he taught them. Think of Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, learning from him. And although women are not included in the 12 disciples, they were not given that role or responsibility, they are often showed a greater degree of love, often showed greater courage even than the disciples themselves. And so Jesus will never disappoint or let you down, for he is the faithful bridegroom. And now Jesus gives his Holy Spirit to also believing wives, so that they may submit to their husbands as the Lord Jesus himself submits to his Father in heaven. The Lord Jesus, he arranged his life. He ordered it in every way to obey his Father. And now the same Spirit, dear sisters, also enables you to submit to your husbands, to also arrange and order your lives under the authority that God has given to him. And believing husbands also have received the same Spirit. The Spirit that also works in the Lord Jesus Christ, having one and the same Spirit, a Spirit of love and tenderness and care. It takes time for their wives, as the Lord Jesus Christ took time for them. As he spoke to them and taught them, so also husbands, receiving the same Spirit, can teach their wives and walk with them. And Christ is able to do this, beloved brothers and sisters, because he has received all power in heaven and earth. We read in the beginning of Ephesians that Christ is head of the church. We read in Ephesians 1 verse 20 to 22 that God raised Christ from the dead. He seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all authority, power and dominion, and every title that has been given. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over all things. For the church, head over all things for the church. Now, because of the world that we live in, we can have a warped perspective on authority and submission. And this was certainly true in the days of Paul, writing to these Ephesians. The entire Roman culture was based on a hierarchy of authority that culminated at one man at the top, the Roman emperor. And so we may struggle with the idea of authority. And we may even struggle with that because we've been hurt by it or abused by it or it's been misused in the world. However, the Lord Jesus transforms our understanding of authority and submission. He is the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. And we see what biblical authority is when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is especially true for the husbands. When the Lord Jesus speaks about authority, he is not speaking apart from service. When Jesus exercises authority on earth, he assumes the position of a servant. He meets the needs of his people, going without for their benefit, making all his decisions for their welfare, seeking the end for them. And what we learn from God's word is that his authority in the world and the authority shown by the Lord Jesus Christ is working for the benefit of those who are under it. We see that in his relationship with the church. We just saw that in chapter 1, verse 20 and 22 of Ephesians, appointed to be head over everything for the church. That means Christ is head over all things, over the whole world. And the authority that he is using in the world, he is using for the benefit of the church. For the protection, for the care, the well-being of the church. guarding her, providing for her. And so then this also becomes the model, brothers, for your marriage too, with the authority that God has given to you. And you see then how when the authority that God has given to you is used in that way, and when the wife in the marriage relationship also is trusting the role that God has given to her in submission, that was given already in the creation ordinance, which is redeemed by Christ, when husbands and wives then filling those roles, it becomes a beautiful gift from God. Marriage becomes a beautiful journey for a husband and for a wife. And so then it becomes possible, brothers and sisters, through the gospel, through Christ, when Christ is at the forefront of our minds, both for the husband's authority, looking to Christ, but also for the wife in her role of submission, looking to Christ, seeing how Christ also submitted his life to the work of the Father for the benefit of the church, and also husbands caring and leading and seeking to guard and protect their wives by looking to how Christ also uses his authority for the church. It is possible, brothers and sisters, in Christ, as to the Lord, to ride the marriage tandem bike in this world, even after the fall into sin, brothers and sisters. It requires knowing God's expectations and the roles he has given to husbands and wives, and then also believing that the roles he has given can be faithfully carried out only by looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, by having him at the very center of our marriage, having him on the forefront of our eyes. And then also with receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, husbands and wives. Husbands leading their wives, loving their wives, and wives submitting to their husbands as to the Lord. It becomes a beautiful place for husbands and wives to live and grow together for the glory and for the praise of God. Amen.